Next Sunday starts our new quarter of adult Bible classes. And in those adult Bible classes, we're going to break back out among age groups or life stage groups once again. And we're going to be studying a very important topic for Christians, and that is Christian stewardship and giving. It's probably been over 10 years ago that we had a class on that topic, and Brother Joe Downey taught that class at that time. And we've asked him to share some of his thoughts on giving, and we're going to be sharing some of those with you to pique your interest in being with us next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for those classes. And we're going to share a few of those thoughts with you along the way. And this morning is the first opportunity we have to do that. So, David, please plan to be with us 9 o'clock next Sunday morning for our adult Bible classes.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you about giving, about contributions. I think it's a question that we shun, that is of utmost importance. Always irritates me somewhat when a preacher gets up and apologizes and says, "Oh, now I only teach in a couple of times a year, but giving is an essential part of your relationship with God." And if we're going to talk about giving, I want to lay a foundation generally, because the rest of all I'm allowed to say will be built on the foundation that I would like to start off with. I think that we have failed in teaching that the Bible is a book on how to live. I think we have emphasized that it is a book on what to do to go to heaven, and how, to some degree, left the idea, especially with young people, that yes, I believe that that's what you have to do to go to heaven. But it's also a book that really restricts you while you're here on earth from doing all the fun things you would like to do. And that is totally wrong. The Bible is a book inspired by God that tells you how to live the best possible life from the time you come into the world until judgment. And if you live right, through eternity. But for everybody, there is not a way of life that produces a happier existence than strictly following the Bible. And again, to make my point, that the Bible is important to read, to find out how to live from the time I'm born through eternity. It covers every facet of life. It tells children to obey their parents, for this is right, covers that. It tells fathers to provoke not your children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It tells wives to love their husbands like Christ loved the church. It deals with mental health. It says, "My peace I give you, not as others give out. Let not your heart be troubled," etc. It covers life. And it's not just a book about, well, if you'll live this miserable existence until you die, you'll go to heaven. If that's what it were, it would still be a bargain. But that's not what it is. And that's what I think we need to be said. And that's the foundation on which your giving and everything else is built, in my opinion.
Good morning. We're going to switch gears just a little bit. We've got lots of good things going on today, but as we enter into a study of God's Word now, as we continue thinking about our discipleship path and the step of share, let's begin with a word of prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We know, for you've told us in your word, that we are blessed if we walk in your ways and keep your testimonies. Help us to seek you with a whole heart. For you are our Lord, our strength and our song, and you are our salvation. And today we worship you. Open our understanding. Open our hearts to your truth. And help us to see you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharing is an important part of the growth and development of every person. We know the importance of that as we grow up, that we have to learn to share. If you've got kids, you know that that doesn't always come natural. Little kids, man, they fight over toys, they fight over food, they fight over everything, and we have to tell them over and over again, you need to share, learn to share. We know it's a good thing as we grow and as we mature as people to learn the importance of sharing. Well, you know what? It's important not just that we teach our kids that. We as adults have to learn that too. It is a learned behavior. It doesn't always come natural that we know how to share. In fact, I would suggest that for most of us in our fallen human natures, we tend to be pretty self-absorbed. We tend to be pretty self-focused. And it is something that doesn't come very natural to most of us to share what we have. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to mature in. Well, as we think about being a disciple of Jesus, sharing is a crucial, important step in your development as a Christ follower. It's something, again, that doesn't always come natural. It's something we have to be taught how to do. Jesus was very clear early on in his ministry when he was calling some of those first followers. He said, come follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. When he says make you to be, I think what he's indicating there is he's going to have to teach them how. He's going to have to help them to mature in that area and learn what it means to be a person who shares Jesus with others. We've been, for the last 8 weeks, today's week number 9, we've been exploring together the idea of what it means to follow Jesus, what it really means to be on the disciples' pathway. And we've looked at some key ideas. We got to connect, we got to grow, we got to serve, and we have to learn how to share. Jesus wants you and me to learn how to do that, how to share Him with everybody we come in contact with. Well, I think in order to really understand what that means, we need to look to what Jesus has to teach us about it. And one of the best places I know to look is in Mark chapter 5. Rob read it for us a moment ago, but I want you to look for yourself. In Mark chapter 5, we find a marvelous and rather curious event in the life of Jesus that demonstrates to us what it really means to share Jesus with others. Now, he read the story for us. It's one that you probably are somewhat familiar with. Many of us are. Let me just quickly hit some of the highlights to introduce what we're going to be exploring here for the next few minutes. Jesus goes to the other side of the lake. And when he comes there with his disciples, they find something rather bizarre. A man who is absolutely corrupted in his nature. He is filled with a bunch of demons living inside of him. He is a demon-possessed man, a dead man walking, because he's living among the tombs. People have tried to subdue him, tried to put chains on him. He breaks these chains, having this supernatural, abnormal strength. And day and night, the sound of the mountains in the region called the Decapolis, or the Ten Cities, is filled with the echoing sound, the screeches of a man who is in ruin. A man in bondage spiritually, being possessed with a legion of demons. Jesus comes to him and he releases him. He breaks the bondage. And he frees this man from his possession, casting these demons into a herd of swine who run headlong off a cliff to their own demise. You see, if Satan can't destroy God's image in you, he'll still go after God's creation. The man is freed from his demon possession. And the people of the region are amazed when they see him, when he's sitting with Jesus, clothed and in his own right mind. The man, now being free from his possession, begs Jesus, "Let me go with you. Let me travel with you on your journeys to share your message with others. Let me go on a mission trip with you." And Jesus instructs this man with some very intentional words in verse 19 that we're going to center down on this morning. One verse, Mark 5, verse 19. Listen to what Jesus tells this formerly possessed man. "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." In the next verse, in verse 19, we find the man does just that. And he goes and he begins to share Jesus with all the people in the region of the ten cities, the Decapolis. Now, I think what we see right here is Jesus redefining for you and me what it means to share Jesus with others. I think sometimes we're intimidated by the idea that we have the responsibility to be on mission in going and making followers of Jesus of other people. We feel like that's just too burdensome of a task, or one that we're not equipped to do, or we're not ready for. But I want you to see this morning that Jesus, in this one verse, redefines what it means to share Jesus in a way that maybe you've not thought about, and one that is completely doable and really can be very natural with the person that you are and the person that God has made you to be. You really can be a crucial part of sharing Jesus with other people. And he gives us three principles here. We're going to look at them in turn. Verse 19, first, go to your own people. I think the ESV says, go to your friends. Or go to your own people, as the NIV gives it. You see, before Jesus will allow this man to go on this trip with him, he says, first, you need to go to your own people. Start sharing Jesus with people at home. People that you already know and people that already know you. What I think we see from this is that you can't share Jesus until you first are willing to share yourself. Sharing Jesus is all about having natural spiritual conversations. You really haven't earned the right to be able to share Jesus with somebody until you have shared and opened up your own life with them. You see, to go to your own people means that you need to have a group of people that you're a part of. Who are your people? Who are the people that you have already been investing in relationship with? Who are the people that you have already taken the time to really get to know? You see, sharing Jesus starts with building friendships. building a circle of people that you might could refer to as my own people. How does this happen? It happens whenever we make ourselves available to our neighbors. It starts by frequenting the same establishments and getting to know the people that are all around us in our community. It starts by generally just being willing to slow down the pace of your life and instead of rushing past people, taking time to get to know the people that are bearing the mark of the Creator, people that have been made by God just like you that are all around you. Now you see, this man, when he experienced the healing from Jesus, really starts letting people know who he really is. You know, previously this man has been living in tombs, but now he's sitting in public, dressed and in his right mind. He's letting people see him for who he truly is and see the power of what has happened in his life. These demons had been destroying him as a person. Verse number 5 says he'd been sitting in those tombs cutting himself. The demon was making him destroy his own body. Why? Because Satan is always in the process of trying to enslave us, trying to bring us into bondage, trying to destroy the mark of the image of the Creator inside of us. But when this man is healed by Jesus, he's now in his own right mind, and now he's functioning once again as an image bearer of the Creator. You see, sharing Jesus starts by being visible to others and opening up your real self for others to see. Let other people see God's image in you. You can't share what you don't have. But if you, my friend, my brother, my sister, if you really do have God's Spirit living inside of you, don't hide Him. Let others see what's really inside of you. Don't be ashamed. Be transparent and let people see who you are. Share your life with them. Go first to your own people. But then secondly, notice, Jesus says, go to your own people and share how much the Lord has done for you. I think this is an important point because this man is no religious expert in the law. This man is no religious teacher. This man has not been trained, and he certainly doesn't know how to lead somebody on a personal Bible study through the Old Testament. All this man knows is what he has experienced in Jesus. And Jesus says, just go tell people what has happened in your life. I want you to hear me clearly on this. What does it mean to share Jesus? To share Jesus, you don't have to be a teacher to share. Many people don't share Jesus, and I know this is one of the big hang-ups, and this is one of the whenever we had the last small group and we had comments from our small groups, a lot of people made statements like this. A lot of you made statements in your small group. I don't feel like I know enough to be able to share my faith with somebody. I don't feel like I know Scripture enough. I don't feel like I'm prepared enough. Well, notice this. Jesus here shows us that if you think sharing Him means that you've got to be a teacher who communicates doctrinal information, you may have missed what it really means to share Jesus. This story challenges the assumption that you have to be a well-trained teacher to share Jesus with other people. This man was no teacher. This man had not been prepared in that fashion. Jesus doesn't tell the man, go and teach other people a Bible lesson about me. Go and tell people and walk them through the prophets and show them all the passages that point to the Messiah. He doesn't say that. All he says to this man is, go to your own people and share how much the Lord has done for you. You see, more than sharing what you know, Jesus here is challenging us and saying, go and share what you have experienced. Not everyone is a teacher, But all of us, every one of us sitting in this room, from the oldest to the youngest, all of us can share from our personal experience and tell others around us how much the Lord has done for me. You are more ready to share Jesus than you realize. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you already have everything you need to be able to share Jesus with others. You are fully equipped. You are fully ready. So, what does it mean to share Jesus? Go to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. But then notice thirdly, and show them how the Lord has had mercy upon you. This ex-demoniac had a story to tell, and it was a good one. I mean, think about it. What kind of stories he got to tell? I was living in tombs. I was cutting myself. I was possessed with all these demonic, satanic creatures. And Jesus came and cast them out into a herd of swine who ran off a cliff into the sea. This man has a story. But his story is really less about demons and pigs and more about the mercy of the Lord that turned his life around. Listen to me. Everybody has a story. This man who had been previously possessed by demons had a dramatic conversion story. Think about it. What's his conversion story? Satan follower to Christ follower. You don't get more dramatic a conversion story than that. But I want you to hear me clearly this morning. Everybody has a story to tell. Not just the recovering alcoholic, or the ex-drug addict, or the former prostitute, or the previously demon-possessed man who found Jesus. If you have Jesus in your life, you have a powerful story. You just need to realize it. Jesus tells this man, go and share how the Lord has had mercy upon you. Literally, he says, tell others how the Lord has shown gracious compassion upon you. The Lord's grace was the means of this man's permanent cure. Sharing Jesus means sharing the power of grace in your life. How have you personally experienced the power and the freedom that comes from the gifting of God's grace in your life? Share that and tell your story to your own people and how the Lord has had mercy upon you. Tell the story of where you were and now where you are. Share with others how you have been freed from bondage. And I think the reason a lot of us feel like we're not prepared to share Jesus is because we've not really come to terms with the power of what has happened in our lives by coming into contact with Jesus. How have you been freed from bondage? Before encountering Jesus, this man was certainly in bondage. He was a man who was living among the dead. The cry of his agony was echoing in the hills day and night. But now for this man, his mourning has turned into joy. And his former cry of agony is now a cry of rejoicing that is coming from the tops of the hills. He has been freed from his bondage. And the sound of his cry of rejoicing is echoing in the hills of the 10 cities as this man is now sharing with all of them how Jesus has changed his life. In order to be ready to share Jesus, you just need to ask yourself one question and be ready to share it with others. How has Jesus changed my life? Every single one of us should be ready to answer that question. in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter says that we should always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us of the hope that is within us. Why do you have hope in Jesus? What has Jesus freed you from? How has Jesus had mercy on you? What has the Lord Jesus done for you in your life? What bondage, again, has Jesus freed you from? Maybe you've been set free from substance abuse because of Jesus, or from sexual sin, or from an eating disorder. Or maybe you were living a life that was consumed with yourself. Maybe you are the most arrogant person anybody would ever meet. Maybe you had been a person of unbelievable negativity, and everything you ever said that came out of your mouth was always negative and complaining. Maybe you were a person that was held in bondage to bitterness and holding grudges that you couldn't release because you couldn't forgive those who had hurt you. Maybe you were somebody that was in bondage to religious legalism. Or maybe you were held captive to relational dysfunction and codependency upon other people for your meaning and worth in life. Maybe you were a person that was in bondage to anxiety or fear or guilt or grudges or self-absorption. But think about what your life was like before Jesus, and how has He set you free? And let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, sister, if you can't answer that question, if I can't answer that question, I wonder whether or not you really have Jesus in your life to start with. Maybe you still are carrying demons because you've never let Jesus in. And that's why you're having a hard time answering the question. Maybe for you this morning, you need Jesus to do something in your life. You need Jesus to cast these things out and give you freedom and break the bondage, break the chains that you are shackled with. Maybe you need to know the truth that sets men and women free that is found in Jesus Christ. Maybe today is the day that you come to Jesus and let Him do His work in you, so that now you have a story to tell of how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy upon you. Listen, all of us have a story to tell if we have Jesus in our lives. Do you have Him in yours? Sharing Jesus is at the core of what it means to be a disciple. You are not really a disciple of Jesus if you're not sharing Him with others. You say, whoa, that's a strong statement. Jesus said, come and follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men, by definition. But you can't share what you don't have. Do you have Jesus this morning? Have you really surrendered your life completely to Him? Have you plunged your life into His? Have you allowed Him to come into every dark corner and place of your life and root out all of those demons in your life and give you freedom? Won't you let Jesus set you free this morning? Some of you are sitting there this morning and you know exactly what I'm talking about because you feel the chains. It's time to let Him in and let Him break those bonds. Won't you come to Jesus? Won't you let Him do something powerful in your life? Won't you surrender your life to Him in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism, and come out of that water a new creation, a person who has been freed, who is now sitting at the feet of Jesus in your own right mind, going and sharing with everybody, your own people, how much the Lord has done for me, how He has had mercy on me, and He has set me free. Won't you come to Jesus if we can help you? Won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?